I met Lily sometime in 2018 towards the end of the second half of the year. And you can all be seated if you want to. And it was for a precept study. And there was quite a few ladies there. And then the ladies were split up into smaller groups to do the study. And Lily was my small group leader. And there's quite a few familiar faces here tonight from that group. And it's so lovely to see all of you. So I really felt like the Lord asked me to invite Lily to come and speak to us. I have a passion for studying the Word of God and for trying to pass that passion on, you know, to other ladies too. Sometimes I can be a little bit too pushy with it, but, you know, it is just a passion that I have. And that's why I know Lily is really like into the Word. And I don't know if she's going to really teach us about studying the Word tonight. She's going to teach us whatever God has given to her. But know that the power that you see and the gifts that you see coming here is because she devours the Word and she is in the Lord's presence a lot. Okay, Lily, thank you for your obedience. Thank you for saying yes. And I love you and I appreciate you.
There's like a little shelf here. Yeah. Is that okay?
Yes. Marco will be so glad that somebody else is using
this. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
So right off the bat, I just have to say that Kat's little disclaimer earlier about crying, I feel like I should have gone first because I didn't know crying wasn't allowed. No, I'm only kidding. But I can relate to that very much. I've cried quite a bit. Thanks so much for having me. It's very humbling to be asked to come speak. I am the same in a lot of ways as Kat, because it is literally a miracle that you see me standing before you to speak. This is not something that I would necessarily choose or I would have ever asked for, but the Lord is really good, and sometimes he calls us to do, forget it, not sometimes, always. He calls us to do really difficult things that challenge us. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story. Some of you know me and may have heard my story before in brief. And many of you I don't know, but I'm really glad to be here and to meet you tonight. So in 2012, I was radically delivered and healed from depression, anxiety, panic disorder, a diagnosis of bipolar disorder, and what I believe to be at that time possibly a diagnosis of schizophrenia. I wasn't going to lead with that, so it's funny what the Lord does. But if someone could have run from things that were hard, it was me. There wasn't a single thing that I wasn't afraid of. I didn't start out like that. Sometimes we don't realize the little things that we allow to creep in and to become the tape that we play in our mind. And it was a gradual thing. And so my background, maybe it would surprise you or maybe it wouldn't, to know that I grew up in a Christian home. And that I was actually saved when I was 5 years old. So at five, I knew Jesus. Yeah, Jesus to me was that beautiful man on the cover of my 1970s Living Bible, who is shrouded in golden sunlight, cradling a lamb, and surrounded by children who adore him. So who wouldn't love that Jesus? Right? I mean, can I get an amen? Okay. But really, if that's the only Jesus we ever know, do we know him? Do we know truly who he is? Do we know his many names, his many faces? So I'm here to tell you tonight that as a little girl who was in love with Jesus, I expected everything to be like that picture. I had parents who loved me. They spoke the word to me. They took me to church, to Sunday school. We were Baptist, so we went on Sunday school, Sunday morning, church on Sunday morning, church on Sunday night, church on Wednesday night. I did Pioneer Girls. I sang in the choir. And that's the way my life proceeded. And it was awesome. I knew the stories. I knew God's word academically. There are a lot of things that were missing from the truths that I knew. And let's face it, ladies, the world is really loud. It's often louder than a Sunday sermon. It's louder than a Bible study. It's louder than occasionally trying to make your life run on being fed two or three times a week. So that can be really hard. So I proceeded along expecting this idyllic, perfect, wonderful childhood, safety, and all of those things. And then my parents got separated. And that's a pretty typical story, isn't it? I'm sure that there are some of you in here who have separated or divorced parents. Nothing is unusual about that. But everything that I thought I knew about God, I felt like was reflected in them. And suddenly, my Heavenly Father, well, maybe he might leave me too. Jesus, maybe he might not love me as much. Because if my parents could split up, I must have done something wrong. Nobody had to tell me that. It's just when you're a kid, sometimes you just believe things. And if no one tells you different, you don't know. So fast forward a few years, and I'll spare you some of the additional details. And I have to say, I love and honor both my parents. I'm so grateful for the foundation that they laid. And there's been so much healing that has taken place in those relationships that it's astonishing. If I had told you the full story, you would just think to yourself, there isn't anything that God can't heal. So when I go forward in this life that is now fractured, and I'm looking for a steady place to land, but things were continuing to be rough. I begin to find out that my background, that rich legacy of faith that came from my grandparents and from my parents, was a lot of religion, frankly. So that's a really hard thing. People mistake religion for faith. They mistake it for spirituality. They mistake checking the boxes. I know that I did. So my parents, they stopped going to church. Now, I had a wonderful grandmother who prayed for me and who took me. She continued to take me to church. But life is really hard. So I saw this shattered world, and I couldn't reconcile it with my faith. And I began to allow the enemy access. All kinds of ways I did that. Some of it was just beginning to believe and take my identity through how others saw me. I'm this, I'm that, rebelling. And then I began to find out other things. See, part of my background is that I grew up in a small town on Long Island in New York that has the Kings Park Psychiatric Center in it. This is kind of a strange segue to tell a story, but so it's kind of a crazy thing because this was a huge facility, 800 acres, 100 buildings. And in its heyday in the 60s, it had like maybe 9,000 inpatients. So this is something that, you know, you're a little kid, you don't really know that like where you live, this is the industry that your town supports. But as a child, I had been plagued by nightmares, by fear that I couldn't explain, by obsessive tendencies. And I look back now and I have a different view of things. I was not aware that my God was a supernatural God. Nobody told me. What does even supernatural even mean to a child? And I think sometimes all of us, without really realizing it or meaning to, we think kids can't understand this, so we don't tell them. Probably most of you aren't in that case. You probably have told people younger than yourselves in recognition. I think people say sometimes now, there is no junior Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? That's a good one, right? That's a simple way to say it. But for myself, I had no idea that I had a supernatural God. And I certainly wasn't prepared to do a supernatural battle. So time continued on. And one of the things that was kind of crazy about the time I grew up in was in the 60s. I wasn't born in the 60s. Thank you for thinking that I look really good for that moment. But in the 60s, they came out with the first antipsychotic drugs. And so they began to prescribe medication to a lot of the inpatients. And basically at that point in time, the idea was to rehabilitate them and put them in special housing and teach them to reintegrate into society. Because living in an institution is a very different thing than living in the world. So, pardon me. I love dry mouth, right? Okay. I've been trying not to drink too much water because I didn't want to come up here and then be like, see, I'm going to the ladies. So, they begin to release a lot of these outpatients. So 9,000 people, maybe give or take. And all of a sudden, they were on the street in my town. Little did I know how much mental illness had already begun to shape my world, my worldview, my young experience. I internalized a lot of these things without having any language to articulate what I was seeing, any understanding that what I was seeing was different, and certainly without having any kind of spiritual language to explain it. So as you get older, you know, you're a kid and you have this limited understanding of even what your family is. But you grow up and you begin to learn. Your parents aren't perfect. Your family has a history. There are things in your background that happen as a surprise to you and you think, how can that be? And right around this time, as sort of an adolescent, I began to find out that I had a family history of mental illness. And it was little things, you know, little comments that my parents would make or my grandparents would make to one another, things that were said. But I began to hear these words, obsessive compulsive disorder. Oh, grandma on dad's side. Schizophrenia. Okay, grandpa on mom's side. And then when I was about 16 years old, I had an uncle commit suicide. And it broke my family into pieces. It was so devastating. And I watched my family, who I believed to have very strong faith, who took me to church, who claimed Jesus as their savior, fall apart. And I began to think to myself, well, what do we do now? I mean, if Jesus is everything, and he heals, and he saves, and he does all these things, and God is going to, you know, be victorious, what do we do with that? And for a kid, it was not something that I could process. And so I began to sort of take in this idea that maybe God was not all he was cracked up to be. I didn't completely abandon my faith. I still went to church, but I kind of stopped listening. So time goes on, and I got married to a man who is, by all accounts, a saint. He's had to put up with quite a bit from me over the years, and he's still here. We just celebrated our 22nd wedding anniversary. Yeah, thank you. He came from an even more broken home than mine. And we brought all of our baggage into our marriages, as we all do, whether it's big bags or little bags. And at the time, we had all of these reasons why we weren't in church. He was Lutheran. I was Baptist. And, you know, nothing is right. Nothing fits. I will admit now fully that that was an excuse, a way to hide, a way to run. Because that is what I had begun to do. I began to run, and I began to hide from just about everything that you can imagine. And without God, and without the presence of the Lord, and returning to Him and believing in Him, the cracks begin to show in my life. And little things, just sort of your identity becoming shaped by what the world says you should be, who the world says you should be. And after a while, that was my identity, what everybody else said. And I really believed it. And so I thought to myself, well, if I'm all these things, if I'm going to deal with body issues, everybody knows what those are like, if I'm going to deal with health problems and dysfunctional family, then I must be a total failure. I must be worthless. My parents couldn't stay together, and I started to really kind of have a pity party for myself, because you really only know what's in your own world. So I carried this into my marriage, and after dealing with some fertility struggles, and then 9/11, I had this beautiful rainbow baby born 4 days after the towers fell. And I remember thinking to myself on 9/11, I'm so thankful to be pregnant, and actually having this moment where I thought, God, I know you did this for me, because the miracle of life tends to remind you of your faith. And then 9/11 happened, and it was like, no, Lord, I am not going to bring a child into this world. Take it back. Thank God he didn't, and I have this beautiful 19-year-old son who I adore. But I returned to my old ways of thinking. And, you know, several miscarriages later, and each miscarriage, I would return to my new ways of thinking. Well, if the Lord isn't going to give me a child, which he knows is the desire of my heart, then he must not really love me. It's really crazy, the things that we think sometimes about God. But he kept speaking to me, and I would say, okay, well, I'm going to hide. Because it's easier to hide than pretend. It's easier to hide than it is to go out into the world and say, I'm a mess. I'm a mess. I'm lost. I need help. I mean, our pride can be such a big thing sometimes. We let all kinds of things tell us that we should be someone other than who we are. And we wear masks. And I had so many of them. I had become this person to these people over here, because then I could be accepted. And to those people over there, I was someone else. And eventually, I had created all of these ways to sort of cope and thought to myself, this is exhausting. This is so hard. I don't want to do this anymore. So I'm not gonna go out. Lord, help. If you're real, help me. And I wound up thinking to myself, wait a minute. Didn't my mom tell me that my grandfather was mentally ill? Didn't I find out after my parents divorced that my dad dealt with depression? Well, what am I trying to do? I'm mentally ill. If this is really true, then at least I'll know why I'm broken. So off I trot to the psychiatrist. And sure enough, I get a nice diagnosis. First, it's just depression and medication for depression. Then, after a while, I get a little, you know, the symptoms are a little bit better. And then, you know, the tape is the same. The things that I'm telling myself are the same. So I trot back. And then I get another diagnosis. And this goes on and on until I have general anxiety disorder and panic disorder and bipolar. And I'm a real mess. So I take medication for quite a number of years, and I keep thinking, eventually it's going to work. I'm going to get on the right medication. It's going to get better. And all the while, my husband is falling all over himself to try to figure out how to accommodate me and how to help me. And my family is just kind of like, well, that's what it is. It's just the thing that, you know, that's just the DNA. That's the genes, right? There's nothing that we can do. We just have to, you know, hope for the best. And when my son was about maybe 7 years old, it started to get a lot worse. And the medication wasn't really doing anything. But I was still taking it. And I had gotten to the point where I didn't leave my house. And eventually I didn't leave my room. And eventually I didn't leave my bed. And when I tell you that I spent a long time like that, it's hard for me to believe sometimes that that was actually me, because it's like it was another person in another life. I can remember how it felt when I think about it, but I was trapped in my own personal hell. I began to hallucinate. I was paranoid, and I thought, well, that's the only thing that's left. All that's left is schizophrenia. Okay, I guess that's what's next. I should just go back and get another pill for schizophrenia. Maybe that's what I need to do, because that's what's going to help me. Now, meanwhile, I can't tell you how long it had been since I darkened the door of a church, or since I prayed, or since I cracked open my Bible. But I was just resigned to it. In some ways, in those early days, the first diagnoses that I had received were a relief. It was like, huh, now I have a reason. You know, you have this elation, this like, okay, so this is what it's like, and now I can manage this. Now I can get help, right? And you wonder why, like, oh, it's not changing. It's not getting better. And so at one point in time, I began to really think, okay, schizophrenia, that's next. That's why I'm having all these things. And I began to sort of imagine what my son's life would be to continue to live in a house with a mother who couldn't function, who only gave him half of a life, who couldn't really take care of him in the way, and I have to tell you, I would have laid my life down for my son. If there was one place that I hung on to who God was, it was this beautiful boy, and it was this doting husband who persevered with me through the darkest hell. But I got to this point where I started to envision my husband institutionalizing me, because I thought, why should I be here to ruin his life? How can I allow my husband and my son to have to deal with this? I'm ruining their lives. So, I pictured it, okay? And suddenly the Lord reminded me of all the experiences that I had as a kid around the psychiatric hospital, seeing what it was like when people are given up on. And I didn't want my son to come visit me in an institution. I got this picture of this beautiful little redheaded boy running in past the screaming and the wailing. Because eventually, when you're on that much medication, there's a whole other set of side effects. So I thought to myself, okay, what else is there? At this point in time, I had a cousin and an uncle who had taken their lives, and I thought, okay, is that it? Is that what I need to do? And I thought, no, I know that fresh hell. I would never do that to my son or to my husband. But I can't tell you how often that thought came to my mind, because I just wanted it to end. I think the Lord is so merciful, because to even be able to say right now that those pictures, that God placed me in such a place where I would experience the things that I did with mental illness, that I would know what was at the other end of that road. And I thought to myself, I can't do this to my family. Well, what's left? So one night, I was laying in bed. My husband might have been away on a business trip. I don't really recall. I just remember, I'm at the end. There's no way out for me. And the only thing that I had left was this picture of a bleak future, and I didn't care about it for me anymore. I just didn't want that life for my kid. So I got down on my knees in the middle of the floor in my bedroom, and I said, okay, God, if you're real, if you're really who you say you are, and I don't even know really who that is, because I know a lot of God's word, but you know, I don't really know. I mean, I had been reading the Bible for many, many years. I'd watched other people read the Bible and just come alive under God's word, hungry for it. And I would read it and think, what am I reading? I mean, really now? This is what you want me to do? This is like, it's either going to put me to sleep or it's going to let me know I'm stupid because I don't get it. There's just too many words, and I'm a reader, so I will tell you, I've read a lot of books. Probably that might have been part of my problem. But I was like, this is, you know, and the devil shows up. You know, he's like, wait a minute, all those people over there? They're good. This is not for you. This right here, honey, is not for you. You go get your pills, and you go back to your bed. But God had another plan. So I get down on my knees in my room and I'm on the floor. I don't know how long it was, but I'm just weeping. And I hadn't cried in a really long time. And I'm like, God, I don't really want to be crazy. I really don't. Am I really crazy, God? And I just cried out to him. I said, Lord, save me. Help me. You're my God. I said I loved you. I said I believed with you. I did that whole thing, you know. I believed in my heart and I confessed with my mouth. I even felt the Holy Spirit more than a few times. Of course, I had no idea who that was. Like, what on earth is happening to me here? Oh my gosh, am I going to have a seizure? What's happening? But nobody told me, you know. So basically, I get down on my knees and I'm crying and I was there for a long time. Time kind of stopped. And I just think to myself, whatever you want, God. And I hear these, more like a whisper to my spirit, I suppose now I would call it, go get your Bible. What? Like this book? The one that I was, come on, God, really? Like, where's my miraculous angel descending upon me from heaven, Holy Spirit, living water pouring over me and healing me right on the spot so my brain is normal. Where is that? Like, that's what, when I got down on my knees here in front of you, God, that is what I wanted. So, but I didn't do that for more than a minute because, you know, it was God talking to me. Someone is listening. So I got up and I went and I looked for a Bible. It took me a while, but I opened it and I started to read. And I read these words. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I don't know that I had ever read those words before, let me tell you. And I will tell you that they were like the most delicious drink for a woman in the desert. I said, what? Did you? I mean, there's like 100 levels on which I wanted to stop and say here. Can we just talk about that scripture for a second? Okay, first of all, fear is a spirit? What? Like, you could just kill me now because I'm like, but wait, it's a feeling. No, it's a feeling. Okay, so that was the first thing. Well, if it's a spirit, that I really don't want it, okay? So how do I get rid of it? Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing was, Power? If I felt anything, ladies, it was not powerful. It was powerless and helpless. Power and love? Isn't that all anybody wants, right? Love? But the clincher at the end of the sentence, that elusive, not available for me, sound mind. If I tell you that with my mind, I could not have believed that that was the truth, except for that the Holy Spirit told me so right then. And it was enough. It was enough that I said, yowza, what is in this book that I didn't know about? I mean, how come nobody ever said that? Nobody preached about it? Nobody talked about it? Never heard anybody say it. No one ever told me. I was kind of mad for like about maybe a day. I was like, I wanted to call up every Christian I ever knew and say, why did you leave me there? Why did you leave me in that place? Why didn't you tell me what the truth said? Well, we all know, right? There's a time and a place. God knows. The Holy Spirit knows when you're ready. So, pardon me. I know I have this mic right super close. You can tell that I'm not mic initiated, right? Thank you. Okay. So it's a spirit. And at that point in time, I began to read. How long have I been talking?
30 minutes.
Oh, okay. I warned her. So I began to devour the Word of God. And I finally got to this point where I was like, I don't care if I don't understand it. I'm just going to keep reading it. And honestly, the truth is, I didn't understand a lot of what I was reading. And even things that I had read before, I was like, what is this deal with Esau? And what's the deal with the birthright? And some of this stuff is super confusing, you know? But I kept reading. And I read random stuff. I read specific things. I spent a lot of time in Psalms. I spent 2 weeks just about locked in my room, just reading the Word of God. And the Lord began to deliver me. Right in my bed. Powerful deliverance. To the point where I got up and I took a shower. Praise God for the shower. I mean, you have no idea because you're not bathing at that point in time. Because who cares about bathing? I took a shower. Best shower of my whole life. Still have not had a shower that good. But my husband was like, what's happening? He probably didn't know whether to be worried or to celebrate. And it was like, you could tell he was like very like, how are you doing, honey? Can I get you anything? And I'm like, dude, I just showered. It's not really that big of a deal. He was like, okay, whatever you say. So I continued on. I continued to pray. And I continued, well, in that point in time, I was praying because I didn't know. I was just talking to God, you know? I would say, okay, God, what does this mean? Help. And eventually I stumbled upon all this beautiful stuff about the Holy Spirit. And it's not that I knew about the Holy Ghost. I had heard, but not like this. So I was like, okay, this is different. This is interesting. It must be true because I was changing. I could feel it inside of me. And I was like, I didn't have like an expectation of what was on the other side. What deliverance? I didn't even know I was being delivered. I mean, I really didn't have any idea what was happening to me, except for that this all of a sudden was like, I was desperate. I was like, I don't ever want to stop reading this. People would try to, you know, make me eat and make me do things. And I would be like, leave me alone. I'm reading my Bible because it was air. It was like, if I stopped, the voices came back. The whispers came back. The tape that I had learned to play over and over and over again in my head came back. So I'm not closing this thing. Are you kidding? Like right now, this is my, who was I talking to earlier about analogies? This is my life raft. And if I don't stay with it, I'll drown. So I kept on studying. And to give you the short thing, eventually the Lord was like, go to church. He didn't say it like that. And I went out to my husband and I was like, okay, honey, I think we're supposed to go to church. He was like, yeah, I've been telling you, you know. But anyway, so the funniest thing was my son comes in with a mail and he's like, I have the mail. He didn't check the mail. So that's weird. And I was like, okay, I take what's important. I'm like, throw the rest in the garbage, just flyers. And he's like, well, but I'm trying to look at something. And I'm like, no. Throw it in the garbage. And I grab it from him and I try to throw it in the trash. And he goes to the trash and he gets the paper out of the garbage. I'm like, why are you taking the flyers out? And he's like, Mom, they're giving away a free iPad. And I'm like, who's giving away a free iPad? I still crack up when I tell this story. So I look at this piece of paper and I read it. And I'm like, okay, someone's giving it. A kid wants an iPad. Honey, take him to get the free iPad. And it's a church. Like, really, Lord? Free iPad? Come on. Okay, so God bless Randy Phillips. So we go. I don't know if anybody was there besides me. We go, and of course we didn't win the free iPad. But I darkened the door of a church. And it was a miracle. I mean, it really was a miracle. I sat there the whole time. I thought, what the heck am I doing here? There's like thousands of people here. It probably wasn't thousands. It was probably like 1,500. But I was terrified. I mean, if I tell you that like I had everything that I do to stay in my seat and not get up and run out of the building, because on the outside, I just looked like you. You know, I wasn't letting on what was going on behind the scenes. But I was like, okay, my Bible's not here and I'm not ready. You know, I can't stay here. But, you know, the Lord kept me in my seat. And what was crazy about it is that we get home after not winning the free iPad. And my husband says, I think that's our church, honey. And I'm like, oh, great. I was really praying that it would take like 6 months to a year for that to happen because I am so many kinds of messed up right now. And people will talk to me. What am I going to do? Can I sneak in after the service starts, sit in the back, wear sunglasses and a hat? And then my husband's like, honey, do you realize that that's way more conspicuous than just sitting there? But so we go. And little by little every week, I'll kid you not. I mean, I was like, I had no idea who Randy Phillips was, even though I knew his music growing up. But I was like, that's the guy from the songs? I can't go here. Like, what? Like, I grew up Baptist. Like, this is, I don't know about this. But week after week after week, the Holy Spirit fell on me. And I sat there, and I never had a dry face. And I would go home, and I would think, those people must think I'm crazy. I mean, I literally do nothing but cry. Amen. So I'm like, okay, all right, Lord, I'm obeying, I'm doing these things. What should I do next? What should I do next? I want more. I'm still taking medication to some extent, not all of it. I'm still saying to people in my family, I'm mentally ill, you know, but I begin to sort of change my way of thinking. And so the Lord says, go join a Bible study. Okay, I don't know why I keep making God sound like James Earl Jones. Because we know that he speaks to us in a whisper, right, ladies? So I go to the information desk at Life Austin. Amen. It was the authority. That's right. Thank you, Kat. Oh, you're so helpful. So I go and I'm like, excuse me. I need to join a Bible study. She's like, what? Can you just tell me which way to go to a Bible study? And the lady's looking at me. I'm like, don't look me in the eye. Okay, so I'm exaggerating just a tiny bit, but it really, internally, that's what it was like. But so she gives me three choices. Oh my gosh, lady, really? I don't want three choices. Just tell me which one to go to. Where can I get help? Okay? I'm in information. You're supposed to help me. Just tell me where to go. So she says, well, this one is our women's pastor. She leads it. And I'd already seen her. And I mean, if you want to talk about being intimidated, beautiful and talented and all of those things. And I was like, oh, no, sorry. Wrong group of people. Where are the messed up misfits? Do you have a Bible study for them? So she says, well, we have a precepts Bible study, and it meets on Tuesday morning, and this is the book, and she puts it on the counter, and it's like this. I mean, it was almost this thick, but it was like a binder, and I was like, did you hear what I said? So she says, well, there's one on Monday nights. It meets at like 6:30. There's not a lot of people here. Not a lot of people go to it, and it doesn't have any homework. I'm like, I'm sold. Give it to me, please, so I can go. Now, when does it start? So I go and I sneak in, and there was only five or six people there, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh Lord, please don't let anybody talk to me. Please let no one. And the woman who's leading it begins to call on me. I'm like, should I take her aside and tell her? Because now I'm like, you know, you really shouldn't keep this a secret. People should know, and then maybe they'll leave you alone. At the very least, they'll be afraid of you. And then you won't have to worry about being bothered, you know? So I know, it's so funny. So I say to this lady, Diane, she's like, I wanted to talk to you, actually. And meanwhile, it's 5 weeks. And every single week, same battle. Like, getting ready to go out of the house, this Bible study is like, I mean, we're talking about literally an act of God. I mean, it really was an act of God. But the Empire State Building was built easier than this was, because it was like, how can I get out of this? Every week, 5 weeks, I go, okay, Lord, I'm just going to be obedient. So I do, I go. And this woman, she says to me, I've been wanting to talk to you. I'm like, okay, what do you want to say to me? And she's like, I don't think you should be in this Bible study. Oh my God, my worst fears have happened. They're kicking me out because they know. How is this? These people are creepy, okay? I'm like, I think to myself, I'm going to cry. She's literally going to kick me out. I mean, this is how paranoid, right? And so then she goes, no, no, no. You seem to know the word of God. And I'm like, well, I grew up in church. Why are you not taking my Tuesday morning precepts Bible study with the homework? And I'm like, wait, rewind and say what you just said again about the homework. Do you need to actually ask me that question? And she was like, no, no, no. You need to come to that class. And I had already told God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. Don't ever say that. No, I'm just kidding. Say it all day long. So I say, okay. And I'm not kidding you. It was like the Holy Spirit like reached into my body and like opened my mouth and made my tongue move. And I heard the words coming out and I was like, I did not just say that. And I wanted to like tap her on the shoulder 2 seconds later and say, something just came over me. So basically I go, and I met some really amazing women. There was like 11 other women there. And every week I went, and every week the Lord ministered to my heart. And all of a sudden I was doing this Bible study, and I was like, okay, the first thing, day one, it said, invite the Holy Spirit to teach you. What? So, okay, and that's a new one on me. I didn't know what that was about. But, yeah. I mean, talk about, like, it's like, you know, the cartoon. Someone opened the book and, like, rays of light shot out of it. And, like, it was dancing and the words were like, wow. Wow. I mean, what a simple thing. It's such a simple thing. But yet it's not. And do you know there are so many churches that don't talk about it. But I went and I studied, and I was doing this like hour of homework. I overheard somebody in the lobby one day, and they were like, oh, I don't want to do precepts. That's like seminary work. I almost passed out. I was like, what? Because you have to understand also, through all of my tortured stuff. Okay. All my tortured stuff, I still believed that the Holy Spirit was not for me, and the life of a Christian walking in faith was not for me. And from what I knew of the Word of God, it was like, okay, I read the things and I went to Sunday school and I heard it. But you know, you can't survive on the memory of what it's like to eat a cheeseburger. You need to eat every day. And you need to stay in this because it is your food, it is your water, it is your lifeblood. It is like the defibrillator that restarts your heart. And I think sometimes we don't know how starved we are for the word and how easily the enemy can lie to us because we are so distracted by what is going on in the world. And so I would just encourage you, I really didn't mean to speak that long, but... Oh, thank you. Okay. I would just like to encourage you to treat it like it is food and it is water and it is air because it is alive. It is sustenance. Yes, amen. So it didn't take very long. I think I was in this Bible study for maybe till the end of it. It couldn't have been. It was like a 12-week study, and so I had 7 more weeks. And by the end of that study, I was off medication, and the Lord sent people to minister truth to me. And suddenly I was in a situation where I was volunteering myself to go for healing prayer. And I got so radically delivered that I walked out the door from a 6-hour prayer session and I could hear the voice of God. And I was so full of overwhelming joy and peace, and all of the voices were gone.